Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, recording at our Hideaway studio in East County. And today, my very special guests are Santee's newest city councilman, Stephen Houlihan, and Van Collinsworth, the founder and head of Preserve Wild Santee. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Miriam.
Thank you, Miriam. Pleasure to be here.
This election was probably one of the biggest political upsets that I can remember covering in East County history. The city of Santee has long had a city council and mayorship that were largely controlled by development and real estate interests. And this year, we saw Mr. Houlihan, who was running on an environmental platform, pull off an upset victory against Mason Herron. He was an aide to Assemblyman Brian Jones, very well known, very well funded by development interests. And also in the race, we had Dustin Trotter, who was a contractor himself, also obviously very pro-building, pro-development, and yet Mr. Houlihan won the race, so congratulations.
Thank you, Miriam. And I appreciate you having us here today. And I'll tell you, what's happened is the people of Santee have spoken, and we've had a very, very consistent message, and our number one issue has to do with the traffic. Getting in and out of Santee has become quite a task. And as a registered nurse, I drive over the 52 daily, and I experience that traffic. And so sticking to that message and talking about a little pause in some of the developmental interests really spoke loudly to the people of Santee during this election.
Yeah, apparently the message really resonated. Now, you certainly had a track record. I think people had a reason to put some trust in you because of your involvement in the Quail Brush power plant issue. Tell us about that.
Yes, Miriam. So I am the president of Save Mission Trails. And so Save Mission Trails worked with Preserve Wild Santee, the Sierra Club, and many, many politicians throughout San Diego and all the way up to the state of California. And we were able to defeat the Quail Brush power plant and make sure that there was no power plant placed within the borders of Mission Trails Regional Park, nor the expansion area of Mission Trails Regional Park. And that was a huge issue, not only for Santee, but also for the whole region and all the people in San Diego County.
Yeah, it was really a David and Goliath issue because you were going up against, of course, SDG&E, very powerful interest, the other energy companies that were behind that, as well as, of course, the State Energy Commission, the PUC, which largely have been viewed as being in the pocket of those same special interests. And yet, you prevailed. To what do you attribute that victory? Van, maybe I should ask that to you. You were involved in that coalition as well.
Well, the important thing was to win the early battles. We had planning groups and the San Diego River Park Coalition. Some of those groups considered what was going on and what the stakes were. A lot of those folks don't realize how important their actions really were or are in considering land use issues. But we had the opportunity to make the case to those groups. They saw that the Quail Brush power plant was not a positive for any of the issues that they were concerned about.
And that was a gas-fired power plant that would have been right on the border of Mission Trails Regional Park, near schools and neighborhoods in Santee.
Correct. And so you had a 100-megawatt gas-fired power plant potentially coming in. And again, there would have been very negative impacts, but the important thing was is those local planning groups considered that, saw it, and when we won at those lower levels, then that carried on and moved on to San Diego Planning Commission, where we won there, and we had people from both sides of the political spectrum joining together, opposing that plant. Basically, the CEC and the CPUC would have had to override the San Diego City Council and all of the other local decisions that were made. So everything lined up, importantly, from the ground up.
It's interesting to contrast that against the battle over the Castle Rock development that's now has broken ground and is under construction, which was a massive housing development going in out, housing mixed use.
Indeed, 415 dwellings. Some will be detached condominiums and some will be single family homes. Mm-hmm. And the issue being is it's going right into the worst possible area of Santee where the worst possible traffic impacts will occur, now, right across the street from West Hills High School.
Yeah. The issue with this one was that it was not originally in the city of Santee limits. It was in the city of San Diego, just over the boundary. So the city of San Diego approved this thing, and basically Santee was going to be stuck with providing a lot of the services, I guess, through mutual aid, the firefighting and the police.
That's correct.
So they kind of grudgingly, the city council in Santee eventually decided, voted 3-2, it was very close, to annex the property after San Diego had already approved it, so that at least once this thing is built, they would get the revenues off of it. But Van, you were telling me that when the vote came through the San Diego Planning Commission, which potentially could have blocked this before it got to the city council, that there wasn't a very big turnout. Why do you think that was, and do you think that that maybe made a difference?
That's correct. There was a smaller turnout at San Diego Planning Commission, and basically after 15 years of battling the project, some folks probably may not have been aware of what the stakes were at the time, and unfortunately, there wasn't as large of a turnout as there was opposing the Quail Brush power plant, and so we lost a narrow vote at San Diego Planning Commission, and, you know, that made a big difference in the prospects for, you know, what was going to happen with the project approval from that point.
Stephen, I'd like to ask you, going forward on the council, what are your priorities for Santee going to be? You're one voice, but on the other hand, we do have a lot of changes coming to the council. Mayor Randy Vopel has been elected to the state assembly, so he's up there in Sacramento now. We have a new mayor, Mayor Minto, who, of course, formerly was on the city council. Jack Dale has retired. You're filling his space. So what's next? How are they going to fill the vacancy left by Mayor Minto?
Well, that's the million-dollar question. How will that vacancy be filled? And so there's a number of options. One of the options would be a special election. However, that will be quite expensive for a small town. There's also the possibility of an appointment.
Mm-hmm.
Someone to carry out the remaining 2 years of councilman and mayor-elect Minto's term. So I believe, and then there's other options that, you know, will lie between those two.
What are your sentiments, both of you, on this one, in terms of if people who voted for Mr. Houlihan, who perhaps feel they want to change from the sort of rah-rah, you know, all development is wonderful kind of attitude, which do you think would give the people of Santee the better opportunity for a new council member who might share more your point of view as opposed to being another, you know, somebody out of the real estate or development mode?
Well, let me just say that it's clear that the development industry would love to have one of their people appoint someone just like them. So from my perspective, we either need to have an election. If they aren't willing to pay the cost of democracy, which really in relative terms is very small, then what they need to do is leave the seat vacant and wait for 2 years, because there will be another election, and it's really not fair to appoint someone to run as an incumbent and with the power of an incumbent, especially when you know that who they appoint is going to have a lot of development money backing them.
Stephen, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, first of all, I would urge the people of Santee to attend the city council meetings, in particular, come January when this issue will raise its head. It's very important. So just like when we got together and we stopped Quail Brush, it was because the power of the people prevailed. And when we failed against Castle Rock, it's because the power of the people was absent. And so although I may be a singular voice on the city council, there may come a time when that singular voice may be the representation of the majority of the people of Santee. And that's what we found out in the last election.
We've certainly seen examples of that across East County in the past, where one new person gets elected, they become a megaphone to the community, essentially informing them about what's going on, things they may not have been aware of. I'm mindful of the Potrero Planning Group some years ago, where they had voted to vote in Blackwater, building a paramilitary training camp, and they got a gal voted in, Jan Headland, who was horrified to find out about that. She let the community know, started organizing, you know, opposition. They asked the planning group to redo that vote. They refused, and next thing you know, all of them that had voted for it got recalled. And it was basically one person making a difference in the community. I'm not saying we're going to see people on the Santee City Council recalled, but the bottom line was that all of a sudden there was this conduit of information going out to the community that you just hadn't seen before. That brings me to the question of, to what do you attribute your victory? What was different about this election where somebody who was basically openly pro-environmental, pro-saying, you know, it's time to preserve some of Wild Santee and prevent more traffic gridlock with, you know, too much development, in your view, to what do you attribute your win?
I attribute my win to my volunteers, because without the volunteers, this would have never happened. And so we started early. We got out and we went door to door. We met people. We shook hands. We addressed the issues. We went and did the grassroots effort and spoke to individuals. Mm-hmm. We didn't just try to send a mailer because, frankly, we couldn't afford it. These things are expensive, whereas others may have sat back on their laurels and sent mailers and thought they would just do it the modern way. We took on an old-fashioned recipe, and we went out to the people, and we went out early, and we won the battle of the neighborhoods in the beginning.
So an old-fashioned shoe leather.
That's how we did it. And I'll tell you what, I think I dropped 10 pounds from walking, and I had the best suntan that I'd had in years from being out there in the sun. I brought my son with me, and he's only 7 years old. And you made it a family thing, and we had a great time. And every time you go and knock on someone's door, you're looking through that door, and you're looking into that person's life.
Yeah.
I'm going to push back on that a little bit because I don't want to agree with Stephen too much. But the other candidates did a lot of walking as well, and I saw some of them out on the trails and in the streets. So, as much as Stephen had great volunteers working for him, and that definitely was important and probably made a difference, but the key difference from my perspective was the message. And the message was geared around conserving open space that people value in Santee, whether it's Finita Ranch or all the hillsides that really create this beautiful sense of place. And just the horror of what developing that with a large project would do to our traffic situation, which is already horrendous. Mm-hmm. So we had a message that resonated.
I've certainly seen both of you posting that message all over social media, Facebook, Twitter, as well as on the various, you know, electronic and online media sites around town. To what degree do you think that made a difference this election? We've certainly had candidates before who ran on a, you know, I want to change things, I'm an environmentalist message, but it didn't seem to go very far until now.
Social media is definitely key in these smaller town races. We can't afford the commercials of mass media to try to get our message out. And although it's a small community of 55,000-ish individuals, that's a huge amount of ground to cover. And so everyone's on the social media outlets. And so we could get our message out quickly and get it out there in a viral manner. Mm-hmm. And so that we could counter any accusations made. We could consolidate our message.
Yeah, there was some negative mailers, negative messaging in this campaign.
Indeed, there was.
Interesting.
And so I was able to address that instantly because that particular mailer came out on a Friday before the election. And so there was no time to scramble and get out there to 55,000 people. So basically the accusations were hollow and we were able to disprove them instantly. Mm-hmm. And through the use of social media, it traveled quickly. And it had no effect.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, at the national level, we've seen a lot of criticism of social media because of the spread of things like fake news sites where people just see something and it's not true and it goes everywhere. But on the local level, it really, I think, gives a lot of power to local candidates who don't have the money and the power, perhaps of entrenched incumbents or even well-financed challengers. And all of a sudden, across East County, for the first time this time around that I can remember, we saw upset in races after races. We saw two long-term incumbents voted off the Helix Water Board. We've seen powerfully funded candidates who did not win election to the Grossmont Union High School Board, several other places that come to mind. So I think the social media is making a difference. It's kind of leveling the playing field a little bit.
Well, I'd say social media was definitely important and made a contribution, but I wouldn't overlook the fact that we had an excellent candidate. Stephen Houlihan had a reputation in the city that was outstanding. He walked the walk in terms of defending the community and in terms of the Quail Brush Power Plant, and has been there at City Council to speak on other land use issues that are important to residents. And so he had a reputation established in the community. So when they put out a last minute hit piece, basically it was too late. He'd already won the election at that point.
Yeah, that's true. Also, there's a lot of people that vote early and by absentee ballots as well. Van, as the head of Preserve Wild Santee, I wonder if you can educate listeners who may not be that familiar with what Santee is like in terms of what is worth preserving. What's special about the remaining wild lands in Santee that make them worth fighting for?
Well, Santee is a unique place, 18, 20 miles from the coast. But what we have in Santee that a lot of communities in San Diego County have lost is open space on our west and northern portions of the city, even some still in the south. Mm-hmm. But those open spaces have sensitive endangered species. So they actually have natural resources that benefit the community, both in terms of the aesthetic value, but in terms of the wildlife as well. And really could be a great asset for the community in terms of recreation and an extension of Mission Trails Park that connects with Sycamore Canyon Open Space Reserve and Gooden Ranch mm-hmm. that we've already invested in.
But speaking of canyons, the Gregory Canyon landfill was another big environmental victory that we just saw here in the inland region. You had fought against that, I understand, Van?
Preserve Wild Santee probably put in a letter, and we are very familiar with Mr. Everett Delano, who was active in that battle. But really, all the credit goes to those folks up north who probably for more than 20 years have fought that battle. So it's great to see that persistence and diligence paid off in the end for them.
Yeah, what finally happened in the end, of course, is the Pala tribe came forward and they actually purchased the land from the company that had been trying for so many years to build a landfill on what they considered a sacred mountain, sacred valley. And they basically purchased it back and agreed that some other portion of it could eventually be developed for housing, but they were able to preserve what they considered to be the most important parts and what, of course, many of the environmentalists also wanted to protect from a landfill that could potentially have contaminated water and so forth. So, Stephen, back to you. As the newly elected councilman, what are some of your priorities going to be? You've talked about hopefully stopping the traffic gridlock, improving that. What ideas do you have to actually make that happen?
Well, definitely that's the big issue for Santee is the traffic. And a lot of the traffic is passed through traffic because people from further east are going to be traveling through the 52 mm-hmm. and up over the peak on their way to Kearny Mesa and such. So one of the issues is how do we divert some of that traffic off the 52? So why don't we have a park and ride or two? The old Price Club property would be a great location. There's mm-hmm. already a parking lot there. It's perfect for people that would want to divert themselves off of the 52, not wait in that traffic and carpool or use, you know, an alternate means of travel. We could identify places where people work. For instance, I work for Sharp. There's a lot of people that live in Santee that work for Sharp that work very similar. They work the same shifts. So why couldn't we use van pooling and bus pooling and try to facilitate those opportunities? And it doesn't always have to be a giant bus that's going to be going up the 52 at 15 miles per hour, like much of the traffic that's coming off of the landfill. Additionally, the landfill itself is a big issue because we have many trucks coming from that instead of going to Gregory Canyon where they might have been, now they're going to be coming down to Santee probably for a long time until the Sycamore Canyon landfill closes. And so what can we do about that issue? The intersection at Mast is horrific, where a giant semi-truck is going to be making two 90-degree turns and hitting the 52 at about 15 miles per hour and not being able to gain any speed. So are there different working hours that we can do with the landfill? What about that intersection? It was my understanding that when the landfill was approved for expansion, that intersection was going to be improved also.
Yeah. I do have to ask the devil's advocate question. Of course, we don't have the pro-development crowd here, and not all development is bad. I mean, we have to say, obviously, if we didn't have development, nobody'd have a place to live. What would you say to those who contend that San Diego really has a shortage of housing, particularly affordable housing? Should Santee be doing its share?
We believe Santee is doing its share because, first of all, we've talked about Castle Rock. There's 415 homes going in right there. Mm-hmm. The Mission Trails collection is another development that's already, I think most of the units have actually been sold adjacent to Mission Trails Regional Park. Over where we used to have a steakhouse, the Pinnacle Peak Steakhouse, there's going to be single bedroom condos mm-hmm. going in there. That's all been approved.
Yeah, and that's an example certainly of an infill project that at least was not going in. It may contribute to congestion, but at least it's not going in on sort of virgin land where it's there's not, I would think, as many environmental issues perhaps.
Well, definitely. We would definitely prefer infill development to going into the wild spaces. However, I also would prefer that the commercial properties were not consistently changed to residential and then upzoned to high-density residential. Mm-hmm. I believe that we could actually create jobs in Santee in those commercial centers. And so I think that's where we need to go with this because guess what?
Idea.
People won't be driving the 52. They might be either driving the opposite way, coming east to Santee for work, or the people of Santee can work in Santee.
Good point. Do you have any specific ideas for types of employment that you would like to see brought to Santee?
Well, over by the river area, right now that they're talking about a Carl Strauss brewery, they're talking about a movie theater. Mm-hmm. But can't we bring some of the tech jobs that you see over in Sorrento Valley? You know, there's probably a lot of people that work in Sorrento Valley that live in Santee. We have a biotech industry and telecommunications industries that are booming in San Diego. So we just need to go and take a little slice of that and bring it to Santee. Yep. And let's get some high paying jobs in Santee. And that way, you know, we can increase our tax base. Everyone talks about tax base and improvement, but also let's do the right thing so we can ease our traffic at the same time.
Very good points. Van, I want to let you get a word in here. And what are your biggest concerns going forward for the future of Santee?
I think that climate change is a huge issue, not only for Santee, but for the world.
We should note that the outgoing mayor, Randy Vopel, was a very vocal opponent of climate change. I personally heard him say he didn't believe in climate change, and he told a group of climate activists who came to me at one point that I don't believe in climate change. I like it hot. He actually said that. But do you think that his exodus may make a difference in terms of the attitude? I don't know where the other council members stand on that particular issue. Do you think that perhaps there may be some room for educating them?
Well, certainly I think that there are other council members that may be more moderate on this issue. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we're going to be looking at here in Santee, I hope, is community choice aggregation, where you can get cleaner power at lower rates. And essentially, it's important for us to look at these local issues. For instance, we want high-paying jobs in Santee. Well, there's nothing better than moving forward on transitioning to clean energy in terms of producing good, high-paying jobs.
Yeah.
So things like community choice aggregation make economic sense. It doesn't necessarily make political sense for some of the people on the council because they will have to go up against SDG&E, or at least they perceive that they may.
Yeah. For listeners who may not know what community choice aggregation is, that's the concept of creating an alternative energy source that communities could go to purchase their power instead of SDG&E. And basically the communities would be purchasing power elsewhere or selling it back to the consumers themselves. Is that right?
Well, yeah, it's kind of a hybrid. SDG&E would continue to maintain the grid just as they always have. Mm-hmm. But instead of going out and procuring the power, the local people would be able to set up those power producing agreements and select something that's more local, that makes more sense, distributed energy, clean energy.
Yeah, I know the Mesa's
looking at keep some of those funds circulating locally to actually speed the transition to cleaner power.
Very interesting. What are your thoughts, Stephen, on community choice aggregate energy for Santee?
I think it's definitely something that we need to look into and look into immediately and try to get a first mover advantage. When we were fighting against the Quail Brush power plant, they would come and say that the sun doesn't always shine and the wind doesn't always blow as far as for renewable energy.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, in the East County, it is sunny almost all the time. And we're lucky to get a little rain as we have been receiving lately. But solar is the way to go in a place where it's probably sunny 330 days out of the year, if not 340 days out of the year.
Absolutely. Well, if they can power a house with solar in Seattle, which is rainy a good portion of the time, you certainly can produce an awful lot of solar in an area as sunny as San Diego.
And, you know, the other thing is as a healthcare professional, you know, people can argue whether climate change is real or not real, but you know what is real is what happens to children and the elderly when they breathe in the fumes from fossil fuel emissions.
True.
And so regardless of your feelings of dispelling myths or whatnot, the most important thing is health, and especially the health of our children and our elderly.
Yeah. Well, I would like to point out that 97% of the world's climatologists, the world experts on this, do agree that climate change is real and that it's man-made, or that man at least is contributing to it. But you're right that even if you somehow didn't believe that or weren't convinced of that, there's no question that fossil fuels pollute the air, cause asthma, cause health problems, cause issues like what we're seeing up here in Standing Rock, where people are worried about pipelines bursting that carry the oil that can pollute the water, pollute the land. So there's certainly a lot of logical reasons to go to cleaner power, particularly solar, which doesn't have the negative impacts that even some of the large wind farms may have. You know, even if you're not sure on the climate change issue.
I agree 100%. We gotta put the health of our children first, always, and then put the politics second.
Very good. I want to give each of you, a chance to get in any final word here. If there's anything else that you would like our listeners to know that we haven't specifically, brought up yet.
Well, one of the things that I'd like to stress is just the importance of the work that you're doing, Miriam. Really, what we're facing right now is a corporate press, especially when you look at the mainstream television networks.
Yeah.
And so a lot of the important stories just aren't covered, or if they are covered, they're covered from a corporate perspective. So one of the challenges for all of us is to figure out where good quality sources of factual news is.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, we do have to rely on the internet at this point to get some good quality news at this point.
Yeah, Santee does not have a community newspaper anymore.
No. So one of the things that I've tried to do at Preserve Wild Santee is put out a Facebook page. It's Preserve Wild Santee, all one word.
Mm-hmm.
I'd encourage people to like that page. And I try and take some of the best stories that are happening around the region, around the world, weave it into some of the things that are important locally here in Santee, keep people educated on important land use issues that may be coming to city council. So I would encourage, again, people to like our page, Preserve Wild Santee, all one word.
Yeah, very good source of information, especially on the environmental issues. And also, some of your listeners may not have realized that eastcountymagazine.org, our sister website, if you click on our communities button there, we do have a Santee and Lakeside page or special section, so you can go in and find a lot of the news about what's happening in Santee, whether it's the city council or the latest festival coming up or the environmental issues. So we encourage everybody to go on there and check that out. And you can also sign up for our free weekly newsletter at eastcountymagazine.org. Stephen, if people want to get on your list, if they want to stay in touch with you or be notified by you about issues that you consider important coming up on the city council, is there a way that they can contact you?
Indeed, there is. So I do have my website, stephenhoolihan.org.
And can you spell that?
STEPHENHOULAHAN.org. And in fact, there's a page of videos from the Santee Forum that we had, and they're 2-minute spots.
Oh, very good.
And you can even see basically my entire platform and learn everything about me, at least that was asked in that forum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and use that to hold him to his campaign promises.
Indeed.
That's very important.
Anybody that's ever known me will know that I'm a man of my word. Even my 7-year-old son knows that if I say it, I'll do it. And that's how I feel. And so I would also ask that I appreciate the vote that I received from the people of Santee. I appreciate the volunteers that helped me get there, but the battle is not over. People need to start showing up to those city council meetings. At least go onto the city council website and get the agenda sent to you and at least review the agenda and know what's going on within our community, because I'll do my best to disseminate that information. And I do it on Facebook also. Mm-hmm. And I'm open to letting people, you know, get to know me through Facebook also. And I have a Facebook site for my election. But I'll have to transition that over to something more permanent. But I do urge everyone to, you got to show up. And we learned with Castle Rock that when the people, we dropped our guard and we lost. And I was there every step of the way. And it's a heartbreaking thing because now it's like a slow motion disaster going on our hillside. And once those 415 homes are built, there'll likely be well over 1,000 individuals who are all going to need to go up over that hill, and they're going to be dissecting Mass Boulevard. It's also a sin that so many children are going to, and teenagers are going to have such a difficult time just getting to school to get their education. Yeah. And I went to West Hills High School, and it was nothing like that. Sometimes people are, it's taken them upwards of an hour just to travel from maybe Halburns to go drop their kids off. And that is so frustrating. So we need to really, you know, take a deep breath and pause and reflect on what a great community we have. I think this community is worth fighting for, and I ask you to join me in that fight.
Well, it's clear you're passionate about it as a 40-year resident of Santee. Listeners, if you just tuned in, we've been speaking with Stephen Houlihan, who is the newly elected pro-environmental city council member in Santee, and Van Collinsworth, who is the founder and leader of Preserve Wild Santee, the nonprofit that is standing up for environmental preservation in the region. I want to thank both of you for taking the time to join us today on the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice.
Thank you, Miriam.
Thank you, Miriam.